Well, Holy Spirit, we thank you and praise you. This is your day. You have made it. We thank you for it. As we move from this moment to the next, be lead us, Father, by your... I just heard something in my spirit. I just heard this. Listen now. Wow. The healer is in the house. I just heard this. Not only is God healing some of you folks, but also miracles are taking place right now. There may be something in your body. You may need a miracle in your family. May need a miracle somewhere between a marriage relationship, children. So let's take a moment and just worship him in our praise language, and let's just thank him for the healing power of Jesus that is coming through this auditorium right now, and those may be watching and listening. And not only for healing, don't forget healing is a process, but a miracle is something that's instantaneous in Jesus' name. Let's start, lift your hands, come on. In fact, let's stand up. Let's just start thanking him for miracles and for healing, not only here, but for our audience in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, church. Come on. Yeah, it's going on right now. I know it is. I know it is. He wouldn't have spoke that to me if I didn't. I heard clearly. There are miracles going on right now. Somebody's mind is being healed right now from all the confusion in Jesus' name. Yes, yes, and yes. Thank you, Jesus. Touching that mind and making it whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Miracles. Somebody needs a financial breakthrough in the next couple of days this week. Well, the miracle of the finances is coming your way already in Jesus' name. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Oh, my, my, my. Yeah, yeah. Come on, let's take a big step of faith and turn and face that camera and pray in the spirit to everyone watching and listening around the globe. Go ahead. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them Jesus Christ is the answer. Hallelujah. Come on, use your vocal cords and let this world know that Jesus is alive and Jesus is well. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Glory to God. Thank you for watching and listening. Thank you, thank you, thank you for miracles to flow, just like it does to Pakistan. We thank you and praise you. There's no shortage in prayer. There's no shortage between this place and where you are right now. Some of you, I see this right now, some people are laughing saying, what a crazy bunch of people. No, we're not crazy. We're just faith-believing people that Jesus is a healer, and he still heals today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. All right, Harvest Church, you're wonderful. See, I have an order to what I'm supposed to be doing, and then the Holy Ghost said for me to read something. Fair enough? Thank you very much. Listen, Psalm, you don't have to turn. Just listen. I appreciate if you just listen and pay attention. Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought far off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. And there is not a word in my tongue still unuttered, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me, shut me in, behind and before, and you have laid your hand upon me. Your infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high above me. I cannot reach it. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the dead, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning or dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall your hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me up. If I say, surely the dark, listen to this now, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the night shall be the only light above me. Even the darkness hides nothing from you. You, but the, my God, the night shines as day. The night shines as day. See, God can do anything he wants to do, and he's doing that right now in your life as you're sitting here. Amen? I want to see everyone in this place, myself and you included, where we are demonstrations of the power of God in this earth. This earth needs answers. The only answer I know that'll work is a man named Jesus Christ. You can vote for somebody, they'll last a little while, but they're not going to fulfill what you and I need and what this earth needs. Amen. Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, which is loose on planet Earth, is waiting for you and I and the instructions that come from him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Listen to the rest of this now. For you did form my inner parts. You did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearfully and wonderfully and with the awful wonder of my birth. Oh, can I read that again? For you did form my inner parts, and you did knit me together in my mother's womb. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderful, and for the awful wonder of my birth. What's birth has a wonder to it. You see what's being said here? You and I were knit and put together inside our mother's womb. You're not an accident. I'm not an accident. Amen. I'm here for this time. You're here for this time. Don't buy into what everyone is saying, because if it doesn't line up with the word, it's not truth. Amen. Don't let anything come out of your mouth and my mouth that is not truth, that lines up with the word of God. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yes. Don't do it. Because if we speak out of our own flesh, if we speak as the world speaks, we will bring confusion into our life, and then we'll say, God, what happened? It happened because what comes out of our mouth, listen, does not line up with the word. Amen. What does not come out of our mouth does not line up with the word. I ask the Holy Spirit every day, check my mouth. Because there are times I shift gears without putting the clutch in. And if you've ever done that, you're going to have a transmission issue. Amen? So there are times, even in little things like that can make us laugh. If we listen to the Holy Spirit, we can laugh at how awesome he is. And how he's every step that we take, he's got it lined up. But then sometimes, and we've talked about this, Jesus said, don't be deceived. We can be deceived because the word of God is not coming out of our mouth, because the word of God is not in us. I'm every day cleaning out the reservoir of the Spirit of God on the inside of me, because I want to speak only the truth. Amen. Only the truth. And listen, there sometimes is a race between what my flesh wants to say and what the Spirit of God wants to say. How many of you ever experienced that? Well, we've got to speak what the Holy Ghost says, what he wants us to accomplish. See, anything we speak that comes out of the word does with eternal things. There's eternity in your heart. Did you know that? There's eternity in my heart. If I speak truth enough, then when a lie comes down the street, I'll know what it is and won't go down the same street, or I'll go like this, go find another block, leave me alone. You understand? See, we have the power and authority to speak to everything that is evil and tell it, you can't stay here, you need to go. The Bible tells me Satan's power has been reduced to absolutely nothing. But how come sometimes we see him make headway in people's lives? It's because we give him power and authority with our words. God, I pray, and you didn't answer. Well, he's got enough power right there to jump all over you. He hears us before we say. The Bible says even before we pray, he knows what it is. But don't let the spirit of the enemy creep in, because he's a great deceiver, and that's the only tool he has left in his toolbox, is to deceive us. Understand? Say, I'm not going to let him deceive me. All right, let me finish this one verse, and I'll go to another verse for you. I will confess and praise you, for you are fearful and wonderfully made, and for the awful wonder of my birth. Wonderful are your works, and that my inner self knows right well. Listen to verse 15, and I'll stop here. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being formed in the secret and intricately, curiously wrought, as if embroidered with various colors in the depths of the earth. Are you kidding? Can you see that? Have you ever seen, I remember using this as an example, when you ever seen something, it looks like it's really messed up, it pulled up a blanket, it looks terrible. And then when you turn it around and see the other side, which is what we're supposed to see. See, before we can actually see ourselves, we've got to see what God's doing, but that doesn't look like anything. Listen to me. God doesn't just make anything. He makes everything beautiful. Amen? Amen? I want you to see this because the book of Revelation says what I just said about the enemy and how he is a deceiver and he wants to try to deceive you and I. But that's not going to happen. Not going to happen to you. Not going to happen to me. Because when the truth of God's word is on the inside of us, when we speak, I think it's 12. Go to 12. Rebbe, if you want to turn there. 12, verse number 9. That's the one I want? Yeah, here we go. 12:9 of Revelation. Listen closely. And the huge dragon was cast down and out, that age-old serpent. He's getting old, you know. Who is called the devil and Satan. I like that because two of his many names, I think it's like 18, 19 names, are here in the word, Satan and the devil. Satan and the devil. 12:9 of Revelation. Listen now. He who is the seducer and deceiver of all humanity the world over. See, there's the answer. What are we seeing? We're seeing the deceiver deceive humanity around the globe. Interesting. That's what he's able to do, but I'm not going to give him fuel to do it in my life or in this church, and you're not going to allow it to happen in your life and to those loved ones around you. If we know he's the deceiver, look at me, everybody. If we know he's the deceiver and we know this is truth, and Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, if this truth is on the inside of us, go like this. Get your Bible in any form you have it. Go like this. This is inside of me. Because the Bible said the word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the word and Jesus are synonymous. They're the same. So if this is in me, when something comes that doesn't belong, guess what? I can say, no, that doesn't line up with the word. Listen, that's on the inside of me. It doesn't line up with Jesus. It doesn't line up with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance whatever you got restored on the inside. I didn't stop learning scripture, nor did my wife 10 years ago, figuring, well, we read the Bible enough. Every day we're putting more and more scripture, sometimes revisiting a scripture we had learned. Sometimes something new will come up and we'll put that into our spirit. I want to be Holy Ghost, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled, so that I can live a victorious life. Amen. And the prayers that I'm praying that are already answered now. Amen. See, one of the deceptions of the enemy, and I mentioned this to you, is simply this. One of his chief deceivers is prayerlessness. Right. Are you praying? Well, yeah. How come your life's a mess? It can't be a mess if you're praying. Because if we're praying, God hears us. Amen. As soon as we pray, and he's going to bring the answer. As soon as you and I speak something, it's already happened. Because it's happened in the word, and we're expressing and confessing it out of our mouth by faith, and the answer is going to show up. So many times we talk out of the flesh, not out of the spirit. I was thinking about that with the disciples when all these thousands of people after Jesus taught, and Jesus said, feed them. Because he was teaching them and training them. That's my job for you. Listen. They said, well, we don't have anything, but this little kid's got a lunch. And listen now, they said this, but how would this work? It's so little for so many. That's the flesh talking. Well, God, I need to pay my, I got to go to the rent. I got $100 in, and you want me to put $100 in? I'm about to put 10 in. No, give the 100 because the voice of the Spirit is telling you to do it. Listen now. Well, if I do that, I won't have enough to pay the rent. Not true. When you follow the voice of the Holy Ghost, you know what happens? The resources that have already been made available to you are rushing to your bank account. We can prove it over and over again in our lives, and I'm sure some of you can also do the same. If the Holy Spirit said, give it, it gets worse if you've got a 20 and you got 100. I'll give the 20. No, no, no. What if Jesus said, you know what? I don't want to die for everybody. How about if I die for this group of people? Jesus gave everything on the cross. He didn't die for one or two people, for a man or a woman, colors of skin, nationalities. He hung on the cross and died for all of humanity. Nobody's left out. Now listen to me. That was then, this is today. And when I do this Zoom call and when you go into tomorrow, everybody who will hear our voice has the opportunity to know Jesus. My God, I just heard this in my spirit. The enemy wants to put, wow, how does that happen? He wants to put hopelessness in your life. Culture means the ways of a group of people, how they live. We can't follow that culture. We can't do it. We've got to follow the culture of the Word of God. My brother, I don't ever ask this, but I just heard this in my spirit. Could you Google how long it takes to make a habit and how long it takes to break one? If you want to establish a good habit, see what they say how long it would take. Does anybody know? 30 days. Thank you, brother. That was the quickest response I ever got. 30 days to what? 30 days, say 30 days to make a habit or break a habit. So you right now are making a confession with your mouth to this preacher that for the next 30 days straight, make the habit of putting him first. Amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Yes. See, I made the confession for you. Amen. 30 days straight. Yes, Lord. 30 days straight. I'm making a pledge for you, and I want you to keep it. Listen, not all by yourself, but with the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes, amen. I'm speaking for my congregation, God. I'm speaking, Holy Spirit, for my congregation that you will allow them to establish, now listen, a 30-day habit of putting you first. One of the first things Jesus said, listen to me, he said, seek first the kingdom of God. Remember we last week talked about priorities? You have to have priorities. Amen? So I'm putting you with the help of the Holy Ghost in the classroom of the Spirit. You, listen, now, my God, you will not have to break any habits. By establishing 30-day habit with his word, the bad stuff's going to get out. Let me try that again. If you establish what's good and right in your spirit man, then all the junk that doesn't belong is leaving. How many of you agree with me? Now, I can tell you what I'm hearing in my spirit. Listen, that's too hard. I'm unable to do that. That's why God can't work effectively in you and I. Amen. There are times the Lord's told me to do things, and I went, I don't think so. If this building over here comes to mind again, and I remember we had our meeting. I don't know who was there. Were you, Jim, in the kitchen? And we didn't have any money. It was during a recession. And Paul, he said, well, we have this. We can use this and this to get it started. And there was such a spirit of agreement. So last week in my office, I began to look up things that happened in difficult times in our country. The Great Depression, the Empire State Building, Gateway Bridge, Rockefeller Center. These things started and began during the time when we can't do this. Hebrews, real quick. How many of you see that about the enemy? He deceives who? All of humanity. Say all of humanity. 10:29 of Hebrews, 10:23 rather. It says, say what God says. If God says, listen to me, if God says he loves everybody and our culture says you shouldn't be loving everybody because God doesn't keep record of anything or anybody. We say what God's word says. It's not easy sometimes because our flesh wants to be a part of that. Amen? Now listen to me. When I talked to you about the apostate church, the Lord was speaking to me a few weeks ago. And I want to give this back to you again. I want you to listen because the Lord spoke to me about something else. Fair enough? The word apostate actually shows up twice in all of the New Testament. Amen? And the Lord spoke some things to me I never realized, but listen closely. Three different definitions. It means a defection from the truth. The Bible says that Jesus is not coming back until the great falling away or the apostasy. Now, that happens on a corporate basis in churches, but it also refers to individuals. What makes up a church? Individuals do. Amen? So many times there's a falling away from the truth because individuals haven't made the commitment we just made of 30 days. You're so excited. I can see this. I'm so happy, Pastor. Yes, glory to God. What did Rick Renner say? I think he said this or someone else. He said, I don't eat breakfast till I first eat the Word. No coffee, no breakfast until I first feed my spirit man. Now, I can tell you what I'm hearing. I could never do that. Well, the reason you can never do it is because you just said you can never do it. That's right. I'm telling you, he does it. I mean, you know, Rick Renner is a powerful man. We just teach from his books all the time. It's incredible, man of God. Listen to me. You can do it. All things are possible. Just believe you can. If you can believe it, it's going to happen. How many of you are already committed about 30 days starting today? It means a falling away from the truth. International Version says this. It goes a little further. A standing away from, a falling away, a withdrawal or a defection from the truth. Whew. Don't we see that everywhere in society? When I was growing up as a kid, if you want to know where the kids in the neighborhood was, there was a pile of bikes. And if one bike was on a kickstand, that was because somebody was fortunate enough to get a new one. That one didn't go on the pile until a couple of weeks later. When I grew up as a kid, everything was a hand-me-down. I got my brother's bike. I always got secondhand. Didn't bother me. I know there was such a thing as secondhand. All I knew is I had a bike. But everybody knew where the kids were. You understand? People are going to know where you are because you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian. You're going to be, my God. People are going to see what you don't see. Do you ever have somebody get around you and they kind of like a little aloof? They like don't want to be around you? Anybody lie? That's because they see what you don't see. You carry something called the anointing of God, which means God's Spirit is manifested. The love of God in you and in me is manifested to people who live in darkness. When you live in darkness, it's easy to see light. How many of you want to stay with that 30-day commitment? How many of you want your lives changed by the power of God? Never to go back again. Hallelujah. Never to go back again. I said never to go back again. The enemy wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family, your friends, your loved ones, your neighbor. Go like this, not going to happen. Because I'm on a 30-day launch pad. Watch out, brother. Watch out. You know, I'd like to talk to my neighbor, but I know he's going to turn me down. You get those 30 days with the Word of God on the inside of you, he's going to see you come and he say, boy, you're happy today. Yeah, I got good news for you. What is it? Jesus loves you and wants you to go to heaven. And if he runs, he's going to come back. I said, if he runs, he's going to come back. There are so many people we rub shoulders with on a daily basis that we don't know that the power and anointing of God on the inside of us will affect them. Yeah. Do you ever have somebody come over to you like Nicodemus did with Jesus at night? Do you ever have somebody come over to you when no one else is around? Am I right? And want to talk to you? Anybody ever have that happen? That's because they see you're carrying the goods. They see you've got something that they need. Because everybody was made in the image and likeness of God. Amen. Everybody comes out of heaven. God is the only answer for the dilemma inside of people's lives. God wants you and I to be so effective in our daily life that we won't open the door to go out of our house because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you and the challenge of your day is before you. And the Holy Ghost said, give me precedence today. I'm going to have you win souls for me. People are going to not go to hell. They're going to go to heaven. Well, Pastor, every week you have the same altar. No. If it's the Word of God, and the Word of God is going to give peace and bring life, somebody here or somebody there may get saved and wind up in heaven, not hell. Amen. No one expects what's going to take place in our everyday lives, but the Holy Ghost already knows, and the Holy Ghost wants to use you. Hey, audience, he wants to use you. Who else is going to tell them but the church? Today you can't see the church. There's so much fog, you can't tell where it is. I don't see it anymore. This cross blows away the fog. I said this cross blows away the fog. This is the cross that Jesus looked down and said, forgive them, Father. Well, Pastor, you don't know how bad this person has talked to me over the years. Get over it. If they're saying things to you that are not nice, they're saying them to Jesus, who's on the inside, who's not offended, because he shed his blood. We need to get over some things. We need to move on. If you could have heard some of the things that have been said to myself, my wife, and my boys, they've heard things. We had to learn how to let go of stuff, because people need Jesus. I want the love of Jesus Christ to come out of my mouth, to come out of my actions. I was just sitting in my office and had a name in my phone, and the Holy Ghost said, I hadn't talked to this person in years. I don't erase things. Holy Spirit said, put his name on your screen and send him praying hands. Hadn't talked to him in years. Didn't think I'd be on his list. Not even 30 seconds later, thank you, Pastor. Well, what was that all about? Hang on. I don't know, and I don't care. I was led by the Holy Ghost. See, don't ask a question. Just do it. Simple. Guess what's going to happen in 30 days? You're going to be changed. I don't want to say you're going to be just like me, because that's not a good thing. But you'll be changed into the likeness of God. Listen to this. It also means an abandonment of the faith. A defection, a revolt. Now, speaking about somebody who's just an individual, that refers like corporately. Listen now, it means this. Somebody who has abandoned their relationship with God that they once knew. How many of you know you have an anointing on you? If you have this in you, you have an anointing on you. God's presence is manifested. Because when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, that means people can see your light. If you go to Romans 8, that chapter is about life in the Spirit. Life in the Spirit, which I've been trying to preach for the last few weeks, but that happens. Look at the first verse. We're going to look at a couple of these verses. First verse of Romans 8, 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no adjudging guilty of wrong, for those who are in Christ, say, I am in Christ. I am in Christ. Listen now. Who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit of God. Go down if you don't mind for number 5. Same chapter. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. This is where apostasy starts. But those who are according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires of the Spirit. I have tried to solve things in the flesh, and it's been nothing but trouble. It's been misery. I'm telling you, it happens to me as well as it happens to you. But then the Holy Ghost reminds me, like of this scripture verse, we have to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Say this out loud with me. The Holy Spirit knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. I was reading about Jesus said he's going to send you another comforter last week. And there's two words for another. One means something that is identically alike. We got twins. My wife had twin brothers. Right? I love them, guys. But Jesus said, I'm going to send you another. There's another word for another. That's pretty good. There's another word for another. I like that. The other one is, they're not identical. But Jesus wanted us to know he was going to send another comforter, somebody just like him. So when I started reading that, and the Holy Ghost said it to me, I realized and I looked up some words, it means he was going to send another Savior. Because he's exactly like Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? Which means every day you and I, with the comforter of the Holy Ghost, the Savior on the inside of us, can take on any challenges that come our way. I said any challenges that come our way and deliver us in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, give him a praise. That's just a good spot to do that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So everybody who's making this 30-day journey, isn't it wonderful? You're going to love this portion of Scripture. Now, the mind of the flesh. What does the Bible say we should have? The mind of Christ. So it's a choice. Sometimes when I preach the whole thing about mind, it's incredible. We can have the mind of the flesh, or we can have the mind of Christ. Amen. See, there's a choice. Amen. Remember we talked about fear? Fear is a choice. It's a choice that we make. 365 times, a scripture for every day to cover you. My God, listen. Listen to what it does. Those who are according to the flesh and controlled by its unholy desires set their minds on and then pursue. See, if we're led by the flesh, which is crucified like Jesus said, then we won't be pursuing fleshly things. Pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But listen now, say, this is me. Say it aloud, this is me. But those who are according to the Spirit and controlled. You ever been on a plane? There's a pilot. The pilot is controlling the plane. Now, if you and I didn't like the ride and we go knock on the door, excuse me, you mind if I have a shot at it? That'd be like kicking the Holy Ghost out of your life. The pilot knows there's a storm coming and he's got to get above the storm, and we don't even know what the foot pedals are. And you ever seen inside of a cockpit? I used to work on planes. That was a long time ago. But I look at it, it's like, oh, that's like a menu sometimes at a diner. You look and say, I don't know what to do. But somebody who's trained, amen, in that cockpit will get you where you've got to go. Let the Holy Ghost control our lives. Control our minds. That's what he's there for. If I could do this, step aside. Step aside, flesh, listen to this. They're controlled by the flesh, but those according to the Spirit are controlled by the desires. See, the Holy Spirit has desires for you and I. In James, it says this, that the Holy Spirit is a jealous lover. He's what? He's a jealous lover, because if we get too close to the world, we'll wind up abandoning him and the truth and go for what the world has for us. But listen, the choices that are made in our flesh that the world is offering us will satisfy us. But then it fades away quickly. Remember, you couldn't get your hands on it. You had to get your hands on this brand new this or that. And it doesn't take long for it to wear off. It breaks anyway. But things that are done in the Spirit are fresh and new every single day. The Word never wears out. Say, it never wears out. Say, I'm going to be a person that's controlled by the Holy Ghost. Let me pause and say this before I close. The Holy Spirit's a person. If people say, why are they always talking to themselves? I'm talking to the Holy Ghost. I'm listening to what he's saying, and I'm following the instructions he gives to me. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every day, God has a plan for your life and my life. Every single, but wait a minute, Holy Spirit, I got to get, this is my plan for you. Don't do that one, do this one. Have you ever had that happen to you? Go to a different store first rather than this one. You're trying to save gas and you're going, trying to go so the places are lined up. And he tells you to go to the farthest place first. And don't take the shortcuts. That's always hard on me when I hear that. But if I follow it, guess what? Glory to God. There's somebody I'm going to meet who needs to hear about Jesus. Amen. Going to be a few more minutes and we're all done. Fair enough? How many of you are getting something this morning? Listen now. Controlled by the desires of the Spirit. Now, if you're controlled by the desires of the Spirit, listen to this next word in the Amplified. Set their minds. See, set means like hardened, like in concrete. No way. Set their minds. Set their minds. Set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Ghost. We can gratify the flesh and our fleshly desires or the Holy Ghost. Let me end with this verse here. Fair enough? Listen now. Now the mind of the flesh with its sense and reason without the Holy Ghost is death. When we get into the soulish realm, and I've done this so many times, into the soulish realm to try to solve a problem, it's death to my spirit man. We're putting them down saying, no, I got a better way. No, Ford may have had a better way. You and I don't have a better way. The only way is this way, through the Word of God. Now listen, when the Spirit of God speaks to us, it doesn't always necessarily mean we're going to like what he says. You ever had that one happen to you? But it's the way. It's the right way. It's the way of the Word of God. Fair enough? So listen to this now. Sense and reason. Wow. Without the Holy Spirit is death. Death that comprises all the miseries arising from sin. If we try to solve things in the flesh, we're going to be miserable. Have you ever tried to do things the way you want to do them and leave God out and leave the Word out? Are you miserable? Because, see, being miserable is like eating. You ever sit at a table and you see some, well, I shouldn't be eating that. That dangerous words. Because what happened? I'll just take a little bit. But sometimes people have allergic reactions. Some people can't eat certain kind of things, fried or whatever. But it looks so good, I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'd rather hurt their feelings than hurt myself. Listen now. But hereafter, but the mind of the Holy Spirit is life and soul peace, both now and forevermore. Look at verse 9. I might as well go there. Why not? But if you're not living the life of the flesh, you are living the life of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost of God. He really dwells in you. He'll listen now. He directs and controls. But if anyone does not possess the Holy Ghost in Christ, he is none of his. He does not belong to Christ and is not truly a child of God. I want to be called a child of God. I want to be called, I have an inheritance, because the Word of God says, you have all that my life being given on Calvary will give to you. I don't want to have a new car and then go driving around in something that's 15 years old. I got a brand new vehicle. When Jesus came into my life, he made me brand new. Old things in my life just passed away. I was brought up and raised in a church, but one day I had to give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I was 18 years old when there was an evangelist in our church, and he gave an altar call for those that felt they had a call of God in their life for ministry. So I went up. I had no idea what I was doing, but literally my legs moved and I didn't move them. This is true. I walked up there and gave my life to Christ in the sense of I want to be in the ministry. I was ready to go into the military. I don't know how this stuff's going to happen. Then when I came back, my wife, precious, wonderful lady over here who is put up with all these, no, she had an engagement ring on her. We're going to get married later. And she said, what happened? I said, God just called me into the ministry. That's dangerous quicksand. See, but I knew the voice of the Holy Ghost. And I said, listen, I looked at her. One of the first prophetic things I said, remember, you'll find out tomorrow night. She looked at me like, what happened to this guy? Altar call came the next night. Those that wanted to leave, they have a call of God in life for ministry. I went like this. She came back and said, I don't know what happened. I wasn't moving my legs, but they wound up at the altar. I said, yeah, now you know. She said, now I know. We both found out the voice of the Holy Spirit, and we've never put it down. You are sitting in a building the Holy Ghost gave us. You are sitting in chairs that God blessed us with supernaturally. Everything you see in this property. Amen? Say, I am no longer going to make decisions based on my flesh. I'm going to run everything by the Holy Spirit. How do you wind up in an apostate? It's when you let the flesh run your life and not the Holy Ghost, because you are a defector from the truth. Stay on the truth. 30 days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Here comes another preacher. Hallelujah. Tag team. Glory to God.
Don't go anywhere.
I'm not going anywhere.
I just want to just real quick add to the 30-day challenge, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody else in the room. The scripture came up in my spirit about Joshua chapter 6, verse 10. I'm going to read it. You don't have to turn there. But Joshua commanded the people, do not shout or let your voice be heard, nor any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you will shout. And so when you're taking this challenge to seek the Lord first, make sure you don't say anything unless the Lord tells you to say it. Negative. It's very easy right now to talk negative about things going on. And I said I'm talking to myself first. I don't need to tell you what's going on in our state. I don't need to tell you what's going on in our government. I don't need to tell you what's going on in your job, with your neighbors, with your loved ones. But when we're seeking the Lord first and putting the Lord first, you will squelch what God wants to do if you open your mouth and you're not supposed to. The walls of Jericho fell because they were obedient. They didn't say a word until they were told to say the word. And if you look at this, the Ark of the Covenant immediately went out after Joshua gave that call. And so the Spirit of God is able to move out before you. This is for someone here, I'm telling you. Don't say it. Don't speak it. Stop letting it come out of your mouth. Muzzle yourself. And you will see the walls that are coming up in front of you fall down. We will see it in our local government, our state government, our national government. We will see it on your job. You know the old adage, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. I'm just as guilty as the next person. I'm just as guilty as the next person. And if you're seeking the Lord first, you will squelch everything God's trying to do for you that day if you allow that poison to come out of your mouth. Let that stuff come out of your thumbs. Let that stuff be typed on a computer or a blog or whatever it is. Don't do it. Don't say it. Don't speak it until the Holy Spirit tells you. Jesus didn't do a thing until his Father told him to do it. And I think we lose sight of that sometimes reading the scripture thinking, oh, Jesus immediately did this and Jesus immediately did that. Yeah, but he didn't do it until he was told to do it. The Bible says not everything that's, the books would pile to the heavens. There's a lot in between the scriptures where Jesus wasn't moving until his Father said, do it now. Do you really think Jesus wanted to say, get the loaves and the fishes? How's that going to work? But you better believe his Father said, get the loaves and the fishes. Amen. So in this challenge, myself included, challenge your mouth. That as you're putting the Lord first, just like Joshua told the people, we're going to shout. There's going to be a time to shout and yell. But now's not the time. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say a word. And especially if things are in front of you, like with family members or situations where it looks negative or you want to say something, allow the Holy Spirit to tame your tongue not to say it until it's time. And it could be an encouraging word. Just keep your mouth shut, as Pastor says, until it's time. And then that person will be able to receive it. The walls weren't going to fall if the people just said, we got the plan. He gave them the plan and they just ran at the walls yelling and screaming. Nothing would have happened. But he told them, don't say it, don't shout it, don't do it until I tell you. And so I encourage you in this 30 days, as you're seeking the Lord first, allow your tongue to be tamed. Not just for 30 days, for a lifetime. Because you'll start to see when God gives you something to say, it will bring down walls and it will break down yokes and it will release bondages over your life and over your family. Amen?
They're right here.
So I encourage you.
Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. That's powerful. Years ago, I remember this. It was a great ministry. We had a prayer thing at church in the old movie theater. And the head preacher fell because of sexual sin. And when the people were asked, the leadership, how could this happen? What happened? The answer, I'll never forget, he said, we didn't pray enough for him. We talk about our leadership in this state. I hear it all the time. And sometimes it wants to come out of my mouth. You know why he's there? And why things are going on that way? Because the church is not praying that he gets Jesus Christ into his life. Our responsibility is to pray, the Bible tells us, for those in authority over us. It doesn't say those in authority over us that we like. So what you're going to do right now, pray over this congregation, a prayer of forgiveness, asking God to forgive us for saying things bad about people over us. Instead, this is what we're going to including your 30-day thing, people in leadership, and you're going to start praying for them by name. Go ahead.
Father, forgive us. Father, forgive me. Wash us, cleanse us of any words that have come out of our mouth, over anybody in leadership over us, on the job, people that are just in front of us that maybe don't belong there. We don't think they should be there, but they are, Father. Forgive us. Take any outer words out of our mouth. Allow our spirit, as we seek you first and put you first, that your righteousness, that your righteous words, your righteous mouth, your righteous countenance, your righteous mindset takes over in our lives. That through this 30 days, we won't even have an inkling to say something negative. That negativity won't even come to the tip of our tongue, that the negative thoughts won't even be there, because as you forgave us, Jesus, we so also have to forgive those that despitefully use us. Because you gave your life for those that are over us that are not even serving or following you, we still have to walk in forgiveness because you once forgave us. And where would we be without your love? And Father, right now, we thank you and we command a spirit of repentance to come over us. And we thank you that we will be slow to speak, slow to even our thought patterns will slow way down. Well, we will think things through in a matter of seconds, but it will seem like minutes in our mind. So we don't say, so that we don't react in the flesh. That as we seek first and set our minds on the things of the flesh, as we put you first, our first fruits of time in your presence, seeking your face, that only good will come out. Only goodness will come out. Only the fruits of the Spirit will you see hanging from our tree, our spiritual tree. There'll be no rotten fruit. There'll be no breaking branches and dying leaves, just fruit producing love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and faithfulness and self-control. And we thank you, God. We commit it this morning. We make a commitment to you in the Spirit that no man's going to check up on us, but that you, Holy Spirit, are going to be our guide and our checker. That you're going to halt us from speaking or saying, or even allow the thoughts that come into our mind. We thank you that whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are holy, whatsoever things are of a good report, these are the things that we will only dwell on. That as we dig our feet in the Spirit and set our mind on the things of the Spirit, the flesh will not be gratified in any way. And Father, if we do slip or fall within these 30 days, that your grace and your strength is upon us to pick us up, to put us back on the path and push us forward, seeking you first. That's what your grace is for. That's why we have grace, so we can get up and change our ways and start over again. Not that we can have grace to continue to doing what's not right, but to have your grace to do what is right. Where would we be without you, Father? Holy Spirit, take over our thoughts, our minds, our tongues. We commit it to you today, 8-8-2021. And from every day forward, in Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Over this body, over Harvest Church, all those that are going to watch and listen to this later and make this commitment later, Father, we speak strength over them in Jesus' name, that this word will go out in power and might. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, son. Thank you. Thank you. Let's all stand for a moment, huh? Well, I talk to the audience. Here's what I'd like you to do. Turn to the person next to you, maybe around you. Ask them if they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And if somebody says no, they're uncertain, bring them to this altar, would you? I'd appreciate that. Go ahead, Harvest. If you've been watching by television, listening by radio, internet, however you may get this, come on, church. Ask people if they know Christ. Well, if you don't, doesn't matter if you think they do. They may be going through a difficult thing. You want to rededicate your life, that's fine. You've been watching and listening. You'd like to make a decision for Christ. I want to pray with you right now. In Jesus' name, as you hear the word of God coming out this morning, a man named Jesus Christ loves you, cares about you. He gave his life on an old rugged hill called Calvary, Golgotha's hill. His blood left his body. And then he went into a tomb, but he's only there 3 days because he rose from the dead. There are religions all over the world. There are great men who led these religions. But the one who led Christianity isn't dead. He's alive and well. And he wants to come into your life right now in Jesus' name. So if you'll say this prayer with me, and Harvest Church will join you. Jesus, today I'm making a decision for Jesus Christ to come into my life. The scripture says this, old things, my old life, things I've done in the past, I'm ashamed of, are no longer going to be there. Jesus is washing your slate clean right now, washing it clean. You don't have a past anymore. You have a present and a future in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you've said that prayer, find a good Bible-believing church where the pastor is preaching the word. Find out what he's into as far as missionary work or local ministries. Help him out. Do the best you can financially, and even say, Pastor, I'll cut the lawn. No need you to do that kind of stuff. Help him in any way you can. Believe in him. Find out when his anniversary, if he's married, when his birthday is. Give him a little card and say, thank you, Pastor. Thank you. No one knows what a pastor goes through. No one knows what a mom goes through when she gives birth to a child. You say, thank you, thank you, thank you. I appreciate you. Amen. Find a good church and find people who love you like Harvest Church. Amen.